Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good afternoon to all. FIMARC endorses the statements made by Egypt, Venezuela, and Cuba on this topic. And also, we think, in line with what Fian has mentioned, collective rights and individual rights are complementary. And in Human Rights Declaration, which was mostly focusing about individual rights, and even after the approval of this declaration 17 years back, even now we have facing different problems pertinent to our different communities. And that's why most often we are in a situation to make specific rights for the communities who are vulnerable. So in that line, I think that when we are coming up with a complementary aspect of collective rights, and which is in a way, even though many of the states are not recognizing in our national context, people are already enjoying. And it's very clearly said by most of our colleagues. And with regards to the peasants' engagement with their lands, community lands, common lands are everywhere in Asia, in Africa, and in Latin American situation. And also, as rightly mentioned by some of our colleagues, with regards to the pastoralists, there is a special pastoral route which is existing, even connecting Spain and other European countries, which is not legally given to any pastoralist, but it is been using collectively. And if it is treating as individual, then everybody will make a boundary against or boundary around the place, and they declare that it is their land. But when it is collective, everybody is enjoying equally. And the same with regards to fisheries. I am from a coastal region of India, from Kerala, and most of our state have a coastal place, and I think this is the same in most of the countries which are sharing the sea boundary. In fishermen is enjoying collective right to fishing in the sea, and if you are speaking about individual rights to be given for fishermen, it is really useless, and everybody will say that this part of the sea is my own and I will be only fishing there. So that's quite foolishness. And with regards to the forest community, I have already mentioned the issue of forest communities. They are given the collective right to protect their forest, and it's working well. And the same with regards to indigenous people. So all these people, all the communities that I mentioned are covered in the declaration. When we speak about peasants, all these communities are covered. And when individual rights are given, and if it's not working, in most occasions, the collective rights given much fruits to those communities who are affected. And I cannot really understand what is the problem with regards to the this declaration and a special aspect of the collective rights for a couple of countries, especially the intervention of Europe. I think it's not really giving me any meaning to us, because when we are speaking about collective rights, Europe thinks that it will bring new rights. I don't understand the logic behind it, because any of the rights that we are discussing in the peasant right declaration is the countries which are speaking about these new rights aspect is thinking that these rights are not recognized under international human rights law. That is the logic behind their argument. And for this reason, they think that new rights in the declaration is seen as special treatment for peasants. The situation of peasants is special. That's why we are discussing about this peasants' right declaration. So these so-called new rights are not actually completely new in international law, because they exist in other international directives. As many of my colleagues have already said, the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People represents a concrete example of the presence of these new rights in other international law, since it explicitly addresses the right to land, which was never agreed by any governments before. So in that sense, there is always a possibility to include both new and existing rights in a UN declaration. It's perfectly in line with the UN practice.
If the human rights bodies are not taking up initiatives, who will come up with new rights then? Even if it's new, why you hesitate to take up the new rights? Because the things are vulnerable and we have to change the situation. And if there is a need to come up with new rights, then you have to go for new rights. This is the mission of the UN, I think. So the peasant rights proposed in the Declaration of the Rights of Peasants are not also the special rights, but are rather articulation of existing human rights structured to peasants' needs and context. And I also really don't understand the intervention made by US. I am speaking directly to some of the interventions, because we also see these type of interventions many times from certain countries. These certain countries are coming only to such negotiations for their own self-interest, and I don't think that this is really reflecting the reality on the ground. And the 90% of the so-called peasants that the delegation mentioned is not having the same viewpoint that was raised by the delegate here. If you make a referendum in US with the peasants there, I think that they won't agree with such a statement, and they will never oppose a peasant right declaration. So we are discussing about a common cause, and I think that this is not a good way to stop a process in a multilateral space like this. And we are spending a lot of time for the last 5 years regularly participating here in this meeting and spending a lot of our energy and resources, even though we have a lot of resource constraints as civil society. And it is high time to conclude this declaration process. Otherwise, we are not really looking into the problems of the world. So with this, I would urge all the delegates to be a little bit more proactive, so that we can come up with a consensus to wind up the session as early as possible. Thank you, Mr. Chair.